In our legal talk segment today, we want to look at the question of parental consent as it pertains specifically to divorced and separated parents. And the reason we're picking up on this subject is because of an email that we received from a listener who wrote in as follows. I was recently sent a screenshot by a friend of mine, taken off social media, of an advert, and they were asking, hey, isn't this your child in the advert? To my horror, he said, it was in fact my 11-month-old baby. As you can imagine, I was extremely shocked by this. I had absolutely no knowledge as to how it had transpired. The advert is one for a multinational retail chain. When I confronted the mother of my child, with whom I'm no longer involved, she admitted that she'd signed up our 11-month-old baby with a model agency without my consent. Now, the person who sent us this mail was very upset by that move and felt they should have been consulted before that decision was made. He took it up with the casting agency and with the company whose advert it was. And I'm happy to say the casting agency not only committed to removing his child from its books at his request, but also said, we'll use this as a learning opportunity. We will henceforth add a clause to our contract that the consent of both parents is needed in order to sign up a child client. He didn't get very far with the advertiser in question, though. And it raised, we thought, a very interesting question about what do you do in situations where parents are no longer together and one might have a different view on an activity that their child is proposing to do from another. We've invited back into studio Sherry Breslaw from Fairbridge's Wertheim Becker, who is a specialist in their family law department, who's joined us many times on the show before. And Sherry, it's lovely to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Papa.
We have kind of touched on the subject before when we've spoken about parental consent for passports, but it's a bigger issue than that. Let's start with the basics. In law, what sort of things are parental consent required for generally?
So, Papa, it's a really interesting question, and a lot of what is at issue here potentially is whether these particular parents have a signed parenting plan or not.
Right.
I mean, so we can go into that in a minute or two, but I think what's important to note is that in terms of the POPPY Act, which is also a relevant piece of legislation in relation to this particular question, the advertising agency in question are actually only legally obliged to get the consent of one of the guardians.
Okay.
So from that perspective, They weren't necessarily,
at fault.
At fault, yeah. Correct. Where the fault perhaps lies more is with the parent not advising the other parent. So as long as you get the consent of one of the guardians of the child, from a legal perspective, the agency or whoever dealt with the matter, was not at fault. But then one turns to look at whether the mother of that child had any legal obligation to actually ask the other parent for their consent or get feedback or input from that parent as to whether that was required. Now, if there wasn't a consent paper in place or a parenting plan mm-hmm. in place, say, for example, the couple were never married and they never went to the trouble of getting any sort of agreement in place once they'd separated, the Children's Act is fairly specific in the sense that both parties, while they remain legal guardians of the children, provided that the unmarried father can prove certain things, and let's presume for this set of facts that he can, they are both able to give consent independently of each other.
Okay.
For issues relating to guardianship of the child. And that would relate to, for example, dealing with the child's assets, getting consent for the child to enter into contracts and things like that.
Yeah.
There are other types of decisions which fall under the banner of parental rights and responsibilities, and there too, and those decisions would be, for example, where the child's going to go to school, what type of medical care the child's going to have, all of those types of decisions. And the Children's Act says that one has to consult with the other parent.
Okay.
It doesn't say that you've got to get the consent, though. Where we take it a step further, when we have clients who come to us and who need a parenting plan, whether it's after separation or in the context of a divorce, one usually then makes provision for that consent, for those decisions to have to be taken then by consent between the spouses. Mm. So we sort of take it a step further from a contractual point of view, and we say that even though the Children's Act says we don't necessarily need to get each other's consent, for example, to enroll the child here or have this medical procedure, in our contracts one would specify that notwithstanding the provisions of the law, actually between each other, we are agreeing that we will not make those decisions without each other's approval and consent.
It speaks volumes about how important it is to have a parenting plan in place, doesn't it, Sherry?
Yes, it really does. Yeah. It really does. And one doesn't know from this particular email exactly what the circumstances were or are between these particular parents.
But what you've said is so important. I mean, imagine a situation, I'm thinking of medical care in particular, if there are urgent interventions needed, Sherry, and you haven't ever had that conversation or thought that you would need to.
Yes.
How much easier for everybody if there is a plan in place that says this is how we're going to do it going forward, or in such a case as this, this is the person who will be the final arbiter or decision maker.
Absolutely.
To save you all that potential trauma and haggling at a time when everyone's under stress.
So it's so vitally important to have those conversations so that you know exactly what the position is in relation to each other. Interestingly, the point that you raise, in most of our parenting plans, again, we say that consent is required other than in the case of emergency.
Okay.
Because God forbid your child is rushed to hospital and you have to make decisions and you can't get hold of the other parent.
Yeah, you can't stop treatment.
Obviously,
for
in
that,
the best interests of the child, you have to do what is required.
I mean, the law, I know, always puts the best interests of the child at the core of decision making.
Yes,
Sherry, but sometimes people don't agree on what's in the best interests. I mean, I'm thinking of, let's give an example. Say a 16-year-old decided they wanted to get a tattoo, and Mom thinks it's fine, and Dad says, "Over my dead body."
Yes.
I mean, if they didn't have a parenting plan that said we have to both agree and therefore we can't go ahead, what do you think the law might say in a case like that?
Well, the law specifically says that one doesn't have to get the consent. So if the parent who's all for the tattoo then takes the child off and gets the child a tattoo, the other parent can't really do much. And that, again, is why you need to ensure that you have an agreement in place to say that all those kinds of decisions have to be made together.
Yeah.
In consultation with one another. And if you can't reach a decision on those issues, you then refer the matter to what we call a parent coordinator or mediator to assist the couple to then try and work through those decisions together in order to avoid having to go to court.
Absolutely, because going to court is a very costly experience, a time-consuming experience. We've had several listeners, I know, who've described to us how they've had to go to court in the case of passports.
Yes.
Where the estranged parent, for example, won't sign or won't bother to come to the passport appointment. That can be your only option, but it should be a last resort, shouldn't it?
It should be a last resort. And fortunately, recently, the legislation has also changed that in those particular circumstances, you can now go to the Children's Court.
Okay.
And you can do that without necessarily needing legal assistance, which is also quite nice to take note of, is that a lot of those sort of guardianship issues, which previously you had to refer to the High Court, our law has now changed to say that you can actually approach the Children's Court. So it's maybe interesting for the listeners to take note of that point, that there are, I mean, it usually is beneficial to have legal representation just because we can kind of navigate matters, you know, a little bit easier for clients.
Yeah.
But in certain circumstances where you can't afford a legal representative, you are now able to do most of the things that you could do in the High Court through the Children's Court.
That's very interesting indeed. Mm. Now, how do you access the Children's Court, Sherry?
It's very easy, Papa. You literally go to the Children's Court in the area of the jurisdiction of the child. So in other words, if Mom is in Cape Town with the child and Dad is in Joburg, it's the Cape Town Children's Court that would have jurisdiction. Every magistrate's court has a children's court section.
Okay.
There's a clerk of the court who will assist you, and they usually have pro forma sort of template forms for you to complete, or alternatively, they will help you with an application to complete that application, and then the process ensues from there.
So just to circle back to where my comment about the passports, you're saying a children's court might now be able to handle an issue like that. And I wanted to say, for those who don't recognize what I mean by the passport issue, we have had several cases, and we've spoken about this on the show before with Sherry, where parents have said, I'm the custodial parent and I want to take my child overseas, but in order to apply for a passport for them for a holiday, I need the the child's father or mother to be present at that passport application, and they're not playing ball. They're either refusing to do it or simply not responding to our calls, etc. What do we do? And previously the answer was you wait until your child is 18 and take them travelling when they can apply for their own passport, or you have to go through the expense of going to the High Court. So yes. That now has the third option of going to the Children's Court and ask. That's because such good news,
Sherry. It is, because previously the Children's Court didn't have jurisdiction to deal with those types of matters.
Yeah.
And recently they've changed the legislation to enable the Children's Court to deal with those particular matters.
That's very good news indeed. I wonder if anybody listening has lived experience to share with us of how you navigated a situation like this, where one of you thought that what the child wanted to do was fine or wanted them to go on a school tour, etc., and the other didn't, thought it was a bad idea. How did you navigate your way through that particular issue? A question from one of our listeners saying, what about an instance where a parent is trying to apply for an exemption of school fees where the parents aren't yet divorced due to delays from the father, and the father is not complying with filling out those forms? Ouch, what a messy situation.
That is a messy situation, and it generally would then depend on the rules and regulations of the particular school.
Okay.
In terms of whether or not they require both parents to participate in that process. If they do, then unfortunately that listener is going to possibly have to go the court route in order to ensure that the other parent actually participates in that process, or alternatively to get an order permitting the school to continue in the absence of the other parent. So it is a difficult situation.
Yeah, okay. But again, if you think that accessing the Children's Court might be a way through a situation like that, as Sherry's just told us, there is one in every magistrate's court. And if you go to the court and ask for the clerk of the court to help you, direct you through that process, you should be able to receive some help there. I mean, Sherry, just to wrap up the conversation, in this case, the dad was very upset, and I think the upset came not only from the fact that the child had been placed with an agency, but from the fact that he knew nothing about it. And as you've said at the start, let's circle back, consultation is different from consent. I mean, would your advice be always err on the side of checking, consulting, asking, even just sending an email to say, hey, this is what we're doing? Do you, I mean, I know it's every relationship is different, and some people have very fraught communications and some have none at all. But do you think the obligation to consult, or at least alert the fellow parent, is a good one to fall back on?
I do. You know, from a perspective of being a parent myself, I can't imagine being a situation where the other parent sort of takes decisions in the absence of at least discussing it and communicating with the other parent. Mm. I think it's vitally important to that sort of that co-parenting relationship, that one keeps the channels of communication open where possible, and very much in the best interests of the child. Because at the end of the day, a child needs both their parents. They need both their parents to be involved and to participate in their parenting.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important, and I think that's why there's always an emphasis in our law on communication and co-parenting and assisting parents in developing that relationship in the child's best interests.
Well, one listener who's absolutely thrilled to hear what you've just said about the Children's Court is Kaz, who says, I am so, so glad to hear this about passports. The father of our son lives in New Zealand with his new family and hasn't seen his son in the last 8 years, contributes nothing at all, and made it so difficult for us to get a passport for our son. It has taken 2 years to finally get it. We have even moved province and collected passports from another province to try and deal with it. Kaz, yeah, I'm really sorry that you had to jump through so many hoops to get there in the end. But yeah, I think that's very reassuring news for those who are stuck in this terrible conundrum right now of having the other parent not cooperate, that there is now another avenue available to you via the Children's Court. To the listener who sent that email, I really hope you've been able to resolve this amicably. Thank you, though, for asking the important question, giving us the opportunity to get Sherry Breslaw back into studio and share that very good news with us. Sherry is from Fairbridge's Bertine Becker, a specialist in their family law department. Thank you so much for your time
it's
today.
It's a pleasure.